Good morning. It's Paul, and it is Monday, 13th of January. Wow, it's going fast, January. Slow and fast, painfully slow and painfully fast. 2014. That number is ridiculous. That's got to be a misprint or some kind of mistake. I remember being 10 years old, realizing that I was a decade old and being kind of stunned by that realization. And then I remember being 16 and joking that it was 1984, like Orwell's novel. And my friend Art had a pen, or was joking about making a pen. I don't know if he ever did. It was, I think I made a cartoon of it, like a drawing of it. Or maybe he did, I can't remember. That said, I don't want to hear a bloody thing about George Orwell this year. And just thinking that it would be interesting in the year 2000, the glorious year 2000, when we were living in the future, that I would be 32 years old. And that seemed like a long time away, and it was. But I only had to wait a while, and then we'd be in the future, and then we'd have moon bases, and we'd have flying cars, and we'd have cured everything. Science would have delivered us into a new era. There's a song by Donald Fagen off the album Nightfly called IGY, stands for International Geophysical Year. It was a literal year set up like at the, I forget what year it was, 1972 or something like that. No, it must have been in the, it must have been in the 60s, because it's about his childhood, about his high school years. Maybe it's 50s. The lyrics go, the chorus goes, "What a beautiful world it will be. What a glorious time to be free." I think one of the verses goes, "On that train all graphite and glitter, undersea by rail, 90 minutes from New York to Paris." And then there's a line, I don't remember exactly how it all goes, but there's a line about, "There'll be spandex jackets, one for everyone." And, it's 2014. I would like my spandex jacket, please. There's something also about "watched over by machines of loving grace." Of machines, of like our decisions are made by machines of passion and vision, or compassion and vision, a trope from science fiction where our decision making will be done by, planning will be done by machine. No, not the future we signed up for. This isn't. Anyway, I'm strangely cold. There's this sort of folk belief that if you get your feet wet, you'll get a cold. And supposedly that's completely debunked. It doesn't, you know, make any sense. Viruses cause colds and whatnot. But, and, you know, if you weaken your immune system, if you exhaust yourself or whatever, you might be more susceptible. But the idea that it's specifically related to getting your feet cold or your feet wet seems silly. Except that I've managed to stay healthy through the polar vortex and fight off various viruses that the kids brought me. But then on Saturday, I went for a walk and everything was inches of slush and water, and my feet were drenched. And even though the rest of me wasn't that cold, the next morning I had a sore throat. Could sing like double bass, super bass, and was shivery and felt like I was fighting a virus. So I told Grace, we got up, I fixed breakfast Sunday for everyone, and we got everyone to Mass only 20 minutes late. We went for a little drive because I didn't want to go home yet. And we had second breakfast like good hobbits. We stopped at Tim Hortons and fed the kids hot cocoa and donuts. And Grace and I had decaf coffee and toasted bagels with butter. And we decided to take them into the store instead of just carrying it all home. And I got the kids' cocos in paper cups instead of mugs because I thought for some reason that would be easier for them to manage and they'd be less likely to break them, like drop a mug or something. 15 minutes later, Joshua was completely covered with cocoa. Pippin was completely covered with cocoa. The floor around the table was completely covered with cocoa. I don't think we actually splattered anyone else. The only thing that would have been that I was waiting to happen that didn't happen was for one of the kids to get up and slip in the cocoa and like smash his head on the table or the head on the floor or something like that, and for it to turn into an ER visit. Oh, and then Joshua started coughing and gagging. He was like, drank too fast or something. And so then I was just waiting for either a choking incident or more likely a vomiting incident to be added to the delightful act of attempting to do something nice for the family and take them out for coffee and donuts. It's always a challenge. So it's a lot of the ice has disappeared off the sidewalks. Not all of it, and a lot of it's like hollow where it's melted underneath. I still have parts where I can't walk clearly, It's oddly cold, like it's temperature is just below freezing, but it's breezy this morning as the sun comes up. This part of the sidewalk is very slippery. The road itself is comically slippery. It's like, you know how an everlasting gobstopper candy is like multicolored layers of different colored candy, so when you suck on it, if you pop it out of your mouth every once in a while, it's a different color. And it has like this powdery, pure dextrose and citric acid center. The road here is kind of like that. Like it's been... It was 2 feet of snow. And then it was melted and then rained on and refrozen and then thawed and rained on some more and refrozen. So, I mean, at least it's visibly... Yeah, it actually is like the surface of a skating rink that hasn't been properly zambonied. Is that a verb? I made it a verb. Properly polished. But it's still pretty slick. I like it glistening. Like... It's like medieval glass that was poured crudely. And it's kind of got, you know, bubbles and inclusions in it, and it's thicker at one end than the other and slightly cloudy. You could hoist up pieces of it and put it in ice cathedral's windows, and it would be the ice glass of the ancient people. And it's strangely cold with the wind in my face. So yesterday, after doing our best to clean up our sticky children, put them back in their car seats, bring them home, then strip off their clothes, and I built a fire in the fireplace and basically sat under a blanket, kind of feeling like a cold's coming on. A little shivery and kind of just slightly dizzy. And Grace brought me rounds of lemon ginger decoction, concatenation. Something she makes where she chops up ginger fine and brews it in the teapot. Adds a lemon and honey. And that, it's sort of a cough syrup. I don't know if it, again, there's no, there's no data on whether that heads off a cold, fights off a cold. But it seemed to make me feel a little better. And then also chamomile tea, which inevitably makes me doze off. And so I was sitting on the couch under a blanket, a wool blanket, in front of a fire, trying to doze off. Wow, this is pretty cool. I was trying to doze off a little bit so I could maybe get a nap and help let my immune system catch up And then there was a knock on the door, and it was, the phone was ringing, and the baby had an exploding diaper. I don't even know how he managed this, where he had poop all up his, out of his diaper, all up his back, all the way up to his neck. And so, anyway, let's just say I didn't get a nap. We did get to bed fairly early. We all were, quite early actually, we all were in bed, dinner put away, because we just realized we'd just been slipping further and further off our ideal schedule. So by 11 we were all in bed. And with wiggly children here and there, and a couple of the kids were sleeping in a fort in sleeping bags and beanbag chairs. They had set up a fort in the library. Veronica wanted a nightlight, so like she wanted a battery-powered nightlight rather than the plug-in nightlight. She already has a like a little LED nightlight, you can plug it in and it has different modes. It's just a cheap thing, but it has some LEDs in it and it flicker through different colors. Or you can set it to one color, you just push the button and it changes modes. But there's no socket there, and she didn't want to run cords all through her fort, so she asked me if I could come up with something for a nightlight that was battery powered. So when did I go out? I don't even remember. Some point Saturday in my errands and groceries, I stopped at Radio Shack and I got this little power pack, which is runs on two batteries and it's an inverter. And then I got a meter of, it's called EL electroluminescent tape, and they make it in different colors. And I thought that would be cool. And you plug it into this little battery pack and push a button and it glows like a piece of tape, a piece of blue tape, a meter long, that glows. It's kind of cool. And she thought it was a great nightlight. She attached it to the wall, taped it to the wall next to the fort. It's kind of hanging diagonally across the ceiling. It lasted one night before Pippin broke it. Apparently, if you fold it hard enough, it's basically like a printed circuit board on a flexible tape. If you fold it hard enough, the conductive material will split. So I took the end off and I tried to figure out if I could cut it and split the tape apart, separate the sides and solder a new connector, solder it onto the end. I can't. It has some kind of, when it was printed, it had a layer laid down at the end that included contacts that attached to the printed tape part that was solderable. And it was just past that Pippin caused it to break. But that's the only part you can solder to, as far as I can tell. The only part where you can split it apart and into the two layers that establish a charge across the two layers and glow. So let's throw it out. So there it is. I still have the battery pack in case I find another, sometime get another piece of electroluminescent tape or something. It works also with LED strips, and like ice, baby. So, yeah, started about 8:03. I think that, last Monday was the first Monday after the 2-week Christmas and New Year's Day week, and I was expecting my office mates to be back in, and expecting our usual conference call to happen at 9 a.m. last Monday. It didn't happen because Indianapolis was a ghost town, and I'm assuming Fort Wayne was a ghost town too. So then all this past week the meetings were canceled. So when I took the kids to school, we actually were on time because I decided to drive them. It was about 12 minutes too, and I just didn't, I was sick of getting there late. So decided to drive them. I pulled into the parking lot and I parked next to what looked like a puddle on my side, and I parked so that the side the kids would get out on was not in the puddle, but my side was, and then I opened the door and got out, and immediately almost went down. I fell against the car because the puddle was a sheet of ice, black ice. I should have known that, I guess. It was hard to see. And it was, everything's right at that near melting temperature. As the sun comes up, it's warming up. So it's right on the edge. Like, as I'm walking here now, some of this ice has water standing on it. Some doesn't. Some has water underneath a crust, and some doesn't. And so I took the kids in, and I dropped them off, gave them their goodbye hugs and got them into the classroom. They've been doubled up. The brothers now have to share a locker in their bank of lockers because there's a new kid. I don't know how that's going to work out, the sharing the locker. I can imagine them. I assume the teacher was thinking, oh, they're brothers, they can share a locker because they'll get along trying to get in and out, get stuff in and out of the locker. And like, are you kidding? I think it would be better to put two unrelated kids together. But here we go. I love it when it does that shattering like a wine glass. Psh! I love that sound. Here we go. Anyway, I'll stop recording the ice. I'll probably stop recording. I'm just about out of things to say. Hard to believe, I know. Especially if you realize that I actually passed that moment days ago. But in a way, I'm doing my part. Clear the sidewalks. I'm gonna break up the ice and make it melt faster. So I feel like I'm performing a valuable public service. I'm also testing the safety so that it's known which parts are so slippery that you will inevitably fall on your ass and break your tailbone if you try to walk across them. You're welcome. So, by the time I had gotten back out, so I nearly slipped and fell, landed kind of against the car door and bashed my upper arm, and it's kind of like Arthur Dent in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the question of who it was that slightly bruised his upper arm can safely be left a mystery because it's of no consequence to the story whatsoever. But I didn't fall on my ass and break my tailbone. I didn't like rip holes in the knees of my jeans. So I felt pretty positive about the whole slipping on the ice experience. You gotta look at the half full glass. But I was in the school for maybe 7 minutes, and by the time I came out, the ice right outside my car door was no longer slippery. It was melting. It was slightly slippery, but it had changed. It was no longer solid ice on top. It's bizarre. Just at that boundary. Hi. Just at that borderline where ice becomes water, becomes ice, and maybe air and water and earth become this guy walking around and talking to you, and the recorder he's talking to you on, and the sun is just starting to come up. I'll put on my sunglasses soon if I'm going to be out much longer. I want to get another good lap and a half in if I can. And here we are. And this part of the sidewalk is blissfully tractionable. Entirely free of ice. Which is... seems like such a simple... seems like a basic luxury, but it's feels unbelievably indulgent. So I'll finish my walk. I'll get back to my desk, sign in to my conference call, and see if I can see if it's canceled yet again. And see if I can glean anything useful about what I should be working on this week. And then, if all goes well, at some point towards lunchtime, my wonderful wife will bring me a smoothie made out of baby spinach, almond milk, frozen berries, and a couple of dates. And I'll get my system packed with nutrients, my cell membranes flooded with vitamins, and my gut packed with healthy fiber, and my immune system will rev up, take a look around, say, oh, this has to go, and just my white cells will corner this cold virus in a dark alley and just beat the shit out of it. Have a great day, all. Bye-bye. I forgot one little detail. So we got to bed early. We were all tired and I was feeling sick, and so I thought, extra sleep, a good night's sleep would be so great. So we were all going down, and Grace was snoring and next to me gently, and the baby was asleep, and kids downstairs were asleep. And then this happened twice. For some reason, the baby just woke up screaming, just shrieking at the top of his lungs. I had no idea, but it like scared the crap out of us. So we, you know, up and like comforting the baby, and he's in the bed with us, you know. It's not like he had far to go. It's not like he woke up alone. But Grace like nursed him a little bit and cuddled him, and he drifted back off to sleep. And then I was twitching, you know, in my going to sleep twitch kind of thing, and starting to doze off again. Another 15 minutes or so, and then again. So we all got up, turned the light on, we took his outfit off, changed his diaper, which wasn't really wet. We inspected him all over, because maybe he thought maybe he had a hair tied around a finger or a toe, or like a something hurt him, you know, like an insect bite that was bothering him or something. diaper rash. Nothing. Found nothing. He's only under 4 months old. He shouldn't be old enough to be having nightmares. And Veronica was coming up the stairs saying, "What's going on? What's going on? Is everyone okay?" You know, and the other kids downstairs were woken up too, and I was just lying in the bed like, "God damn it, I just want to rest." But we looked him over, and the best explanation we could come up with is that he just wasn't tired enough, because he had napped all day and like on and off during the day. Like when I was on the couch trying to nap, he really was succeeding at it. And that he was just bored. Like, just like, "I'm awake, I'm awake, I'm awake, and I'm bored. God damn it, get up, guys. Ah!" Just to get us up so we would entertain him. And, you know, Grace nursed him some more and burped him. He may have had a little gas, I don't know, but seemed fine. Like, never could find a full explanation for what that was all about. I think he was just awake and lonely and bored. And so that was his version of, "Hey, I am not happy. Everybody wake the fuck up and entertain me now." All right, I'm back home. Time to go to my desk. If I could get through a day without screaming, I really should stop the screaming. Bye, all.